Lord, as I seek to serve you, may you find in me what's pleasing to your heart. I lean my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars. For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace. Let my desires be overshadowed, that I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as loss, and only your glory is in view. Concealed, hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you. If I relied on my strength to be a source of hope to those in need, the only profit I would gain would be the empty honor of my deeds. But with all the self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine, illuminating with your power, reaching souls to you alone are glorified. Hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you. Hide me behind the cross, so the world sees only you.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together briefly this morning, and let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. We're going to continue on. We've started the year with a series on lifting him up, which of course is our theme. A couple things before we read the scripture, just so you understand what Charlie was saying. Next Sunday is Time Change Sunday. Now in the past, now listen carefully so we're not confused. In the past, what we've done is said, don't change your clocks. We'll change our clocks after the service, okay? We're not doing that anymore. So what we're going to do, because it's confusing, now we live in a time where your clocks change automatically, all right? I don't know if you're like me. On that time change Sunday, I have to find a clock that doesn't automatically change, so I make sure I get to church on time. So change your clocks next Sunday, next Saturday night when you go to bed, or your clock will automatically change. And so we're only having one service. That'll be at 10:30, okay? We won't have Sunday school. It's our building kickoff. We're going to be introducing our building campaign. And so technically, if you think about it, it's the 10:30 time is actually the 9:30 time, because you're losing an hour. When you change your clocks next week, you're going ahead an hour. So help us with that if you could. And we'll see you at church next Sunday at 10:30. And then we didn't remind, Pastor Pichardo is here. He was in town for his son's wedding. He'll be preaching in our service tonight, so we're excited to have him back with us. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to look through the whole chapter, but we're going to read the first 10 verses together. We'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. Verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me all the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray you'd bless our few minutes we have this morning. I pray as we, again, as we think about subjects that would help us to lift you up in our life, as we look at this very simplistic but yet very basic and needed aspect of lifting you up, speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read one more verse to you. This is really God's desire for his people and really what the message is about. So here we go. Deuteronomy 5 verse 29 says this, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That is God's desire right there. God's desire is that we would fear him enough. I got a little, Oscar, there's a little bit of a feedback here, if you could help me. God's desire is that we would fear him so much that we would do what he said so that he can bless us and our children and our families that come after us. How does that relate to lifting him up? We looked last week at growing in our faith, which is very, very important. Growth is a very vital part of our Christian life. Well, I'm thankful for the response of so many that filled out cards that said, I want to grow in my faith and I'm willing to take that next step. And thank you for that. And I'm sure the Lord appreciates that also. But as we mentioned several principles of growth. We mentioned that growth is a matter of maturity. It's a matter of addition. It's a matter of progression, and it's a matter of choice. One of the principles that we mentioned is a very vital one, that without it, we will never grow as a Christian, and we will never really fully lift up Jesus Christ in this world. Growth is a matter of obedience. Simply put, it's doing what God tells us to do in our life. Think about these principles we mentioned of growth last week. Choosing to grow, puts us on the path to growth. Maturity, addition, and progression are what happened to us as we were on the path to growth. But obedience is the vehicle that we travel in on the path of growth. Think of it as a car. Choosing to grow puts us in the car. The car will take us to maturity, progression, and addition. But obedience fuels the car, starts it up, and drives us to those destinations. We need to obey the Lord. As we were If you're reading through your Bible, you actually probably read this earlier this week or towards the end of last week as we've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy. Actually, even our reading this morning, as it talks in relation to obedience, it talked about if we obey God, there's blessings that come. When we disobey God, there are curses that can come. And then God gave us a challenge to obey him. Let me give you the story. The book of Deuteronomy is the retelling of all that the children of Israel went through on their journey out of Egypt to their current place in time, where they're just about ready to finally go into the promised land that God had really wanted them to go into many, many years earlier. The word Deuteronomy means second law or repetition of the law. The book of Deuteronomy is repeating all that they've done and repeating several of the key laws to prepare them for that time, that they step into the promised land. They had been stuck in the wilderness because of their unbelief and obedience, a disobedience, and that they had decided not to enter in many years before. The purpose here in Deuteronomy of all that God is sharing with them is to prepare them and to warn them so they can be ready to tackle all that they would have to do once they moved into the promised land. The first couple of chapters gives us a summary of their time in the wilderness. He then relates the laws to them that he had taught them previously, and then he gives them some warnings and some instructions to get them ready to enter. So now we get to chapter 4, and he's beginning a section where he is just very honestly telling them about their need to obey all that God has told them. That is going to be the key to their success. As they ventured their journey into the promised land, there would be a lot of enemies they were going to face. There would be many battles, but there were going to be many opportunities for blessings. By the way, the choice would be theirs whether they lived a victorious life, if they had victory in the promised land, or whether they would suffer defeat in the promised land. I hope that your goal as a Christian is not to have a defeated kind of Christian life, but to have a victorious Christian life. That's what they wanted. It's a shame to us that so many Christians live what I would call a defeated Christian life. In other words, they don't experience the blessings that God has for them. They don't experience everything that God wants them to have simply because they're not obedient. God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be joyful. Why is it that so many Christians aren't? I'm not talking about some happiness or prosperity or pie in the sky kind of thing. Because as we've mentioned before a few weeks ago, joy is something you can have regardless of what's going on around you because it's related to your relationship to God. But why is it so many Christians, if they were honest with you and you said, "How's your Christian life?" and they were honest, they would say, "I'm just not really getting what I think that I should be getting out of it." Is the problem with God? No. The problem is never with God. If there's a problem and we're not experiencing victory, the problem is with us. And that problem, very simply put, is disobedience. We don't do what God tells us to do. You say, that's just very simplistic. I know. The Bible is very simplistic. God says if you obey him, blessings come. If we disobey him, blessings are withheld, and sometimes things don't go very well. For whatever reason, most Christians have chosen to believe what God says enough to get salvation, but we don't trust God enough after salvation to do what he says when it comes to living our lives. We feel the path to victory, the path to having that life that we all really desire to have, is by doing our own thing. But that's not it. If we believe that, we've been sold a lie. I read this statement one time. It's a little simplistic, but I get it and I believe it. The shortest distance between you and the life you really want is complete obedience to God and his word. See, we want joy. Now, we're thinking of happiness sometimes. And so we strive to get those things we think will bring us joy, to bring us happiness. You know, it's doing our own thing. It's money. It's being, you know, no one telling me what to do. Can I just tell you something? That's not how you find it. It is found on the path of obedience to God's word. And if you really want to have, look, so many people are like, man, if I just had all this money, I'd be able to do whatever I want. I'd be happy. And some people attain it and they get it and they look back and say, I'm not happy. I've been lied to. That distance, that short distance between having a life where you're excited to get up in the morning and you're excited to live and you're excited to serve God is obedience to whatever God says. In this chapter, there's several points of obedience I just very simply want to share with us this morning. It talks about obedience. First of all, I want you to notice the purity of obedience. The purity of obedience. Look at verse 1 again. He says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in to possess the land which the Lord your fathers giveth you. Then he says this, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. God has the right to tell us what to do. And the right that God has to tell us what to do is rooted in the purity of his words. Now, we're not talking about Bible versions this morning. I do believe, and we won't get into this morning, we follow the King James Bible here. Some of the newer Bibles, there are things missing. There are things that are added to it. That's not our study for today. That's a study for another day. But that's not even where I want to go with that today. I want us to understand that God's word is pure and true. And because of that, we can follow it wholeheartedly without any reservation, realizing that the promises that God's word makes will be delivered if we follow God's prescription. They were not to mess with its purity. He said, don't add anything to my word and don't take anything away from it. It's complete. You have what you need. By the way, if you add something to it, you would make it impure. If you took something away from it, you would make it impure because you have now changed it. If I offer you a glass of water and I said this water is 99% pure, it's 1% arsenic, most of us wouldn't drink it. Now, there's a few of you, I would want you to drink it. You wouldn't drink it. Oh, but it's 99% pure, but it's not completely pure because something impure has been added to it. God's word is pure as it stands. And because of its purity, he has the right to tell us what to do. We may not, now look, here's a point for us this morning. We may not physically take God's word and add to it. We may not physically take words away from God's, but we do it practically. See, sometimes we put our feelings over what it says. You know, I just feel that God wants me to do this, Pastor Pichardo. I just really have this feeling in my heart that that's what God wants. If it's against the scripture, then it doesn't matter how you feel. By the way, your feelings lie to you. How many of you know that? Oh, I just feel like that. Listen, I'm glad I don't do everything I feel like doing. That would be bad. And I'm glad you don't do everything you feel like doing. Listen, our feelings are not scripture. Now, if our feelings line up with God's word, that's great. And by the way, feelings usually come afterwards. Man, we're obeying God's word and we're being blessed and it feels good. But we don't follow our feelings. Whenever we follow our feelings, what we're saying is, that's what is right, not what God says. Sometimes we put our humanistic feeling over what it says. Proverbs says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yo, this is the right path. I mean, I figured it out in my mind. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with trying to figure out your mind as long as what you figure out in your mind goes by what God's word says. You got to always match it up against God's word. But sometimes we try to do what we feel is best. what we think is, I figured this out. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't follow what you think is best. Then he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know the greatest way God has directed our path? Right here. By the way, if it's in the scripture, if it's in the word, we don't need to pray about it. We don't need to think about it. We just need to simply do it. Let's not ruin the purity of his word. Sometimes we put something man says over it. You know, sometimes someone will tell you something. It's like, man, that just sounds like good advice. Except for one thing. It doesn't match the scripture. But, you know, Dr. Phil said, Dr. Phil is not scripture. You know, but Brother Pineda said, Brother Pineda is definitely not scripture. I think he's the other type, but anyhow. Listen, everything we think, feel, say should flow from the truths of this book. Okay? So we listen to the wrong. That's why you be very careful. You know, I'm just listening to this music, and I'm just listen, if what it's saying is not lined up with scripture, it's teaching you that which is wrong. It's just, I just like the music, man. Really? How come you sing the words? Okay? How come whenever they're trying to teach a child something, they'll use music? Right? Because music gets the words in the mind. And once the words are in the mind, the truth is there. What are you allowing to influence you? Sometimes we put our will over what God says. Right? I believe God wants me to do this. I had a lady come one time. She goes, Brother Myers, I believe God wants me to leave my husband. He told me to. And I knew it was going like, really? You know why God told her to leave her husband? Because she already had another guy. I said, God didn't tell you to do that. It's your flesh. By the way, sometimes in spiritual circles, we spiritualize things. You know, I'm feeling it. He's speaking to me. God told me this. Whenever someone says, God told me this, here's what you ask them. What verse was that? God doesn't speak contrary to his word. That's the point. Let's just follow God's word. Now, here's how it is. Guys, we are notorious for not liking instructions. Come on. How many of you, if you put something together, you don't like the instruction book? Now, if you buy something from IKEA, it's not an issue because it's not in English. You can't read it anyhow. It's in Swahili or something. I don't know what it is. You know, we don't like it. It's like we look at it and say, come on, how hard could it be? It's just, you know, it kind of looks like this and we do it. And we take the instruction manual and we set it over here. We start to put it together. And inevitably what happens is we get done and it has extra pieces. Or it doesn't work right. Or we put something in there and we tighten it and then you read the instruction. Oh, you were supposed to do it the other direction. We don't like it. Now, if you look on the instruction manual, most all of them say this. Please read the instruction manual completely before going forward. Now, we do after we've already started. That's guys, right? We bring that into our Christian life. We just forge ahead and we're going to do what's right. And we know what's going on. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. God said you don't do that. God's words are the instruction manual. Let me read a couple of verses from Jeremiah. Now, none of us physically do this. A lot of us spiritually do this. Jeremiah chapter 36, it says, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Think of it as a fireplace. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, it was some words of scripture that Jeremiah had written. He cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You know what he did? I think it was King Jehoiakim said, I didn't like that part, so they just let me just cut that out. Threw it in the fire. And like, we don't like what Jeremiah is saying. And he threw it in the fire. Now, we wouldn't throw God's word in the fire, but you know what we do in our minds? We don't follow it. We're like, that's optional. God's word is pure, and we're to follow it wholeheartedly. So I want you to see the purity of obedience. Moving on, I want you to see the blessings of obedience. The blessings. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 4 says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Let me just say this. There are blessings associated with following what the Word of God says. Just as there is punishment, most of it built in, from not. In order, and for him to illustrate this point, he goes back to a story we read in Numbers. Baal-peor is where the people of Israel had started intermarrying with the people of the land. The problem with that is those, at that time, all of those people were idol worshipers. And by the way, their idolatry was very wicked and very immoral. It wasn't just that they had a statue that sat there, although that is wrong because that's an offense to God. The practice behind what they did in their idolatry was bad. Most of their worship involved immorality. And in the matter of Baal, it also involved child sacrifice with immorality. And so we're not talking about, you know, just, well, they were carried. No, no, no. This was bad stuff. And God said, don't intermarry with them. Because if you intermarry with them, what's going to happen is you are going to start worshiping their gods. And as he told them that, what happened is some of the men of Israel were going in with the Moabites and they were starting to date their ladies and they were involved to the worship of Baal. And when they went to the worship of Baal, they were becoming immoral with the people of the land. And God didn't like that. So God started dealing with some of these people that were doing that. But you know who the people that didn't experience the curse of God? It's those that did what God said. It's those that did not get caught up with the nonsense. Now, by the way, let me say this. Before we get on the Moabites too hard for their immoral worship, that's where we're at today. That is where we're at today. We worship self, and most of the mode of worship is immorality. It's a plague in our society. You got to, if you, they sell hamburgers with it. They sell cars with it. It's junk. Immorality is rampant. And by the way, the church doesn't even say anything anymore. We don't. There's this lame movie out, 50 Shades of Grey. It's nothing but garbage. It was a book that one year sold more than any other book except for the Bible. And it's nothing but immorality. But somebody made a Christian movie that recently came out that's supposed to be about purity. Just so happens I had the radio on when I was making visits yesterday, and this guy was on there who made the movie. And he was talking about it. But here's what he said that I didn't like. He said, listen, they're calling it a faith-based movie because in this movie he's talking about not being immoral until you get married. But he said, they made it a faith-based movie. They're calling it a faith-based movie, which means that people are looking at it like it's what we're showing in the movie is what you're supposed to do. And here's what he said. That's not at all what we're doing. I'm thinking, what? He made a movie that said you should wait until marriage. And he said, but that's not what we're telling you to do. What kind of garbage is that? They're just trying to get the Christians money. See, immorality is wrong. They incorporate their worship. Now, we worship ourselves. We don't worship a little statue of Baal, but we just do whatever we want to do because that's what we want to do. We got to be very careful. There's no blessings involved with that. You know where the blessings come from? The blessings come from saying, you know what? I'm just going to follow what God's word says. That's where the blessings come. Now look, it's not like God is looking down from heaven saying, I am waiting for you to mess up one time and I'm going to squish you like a cockroach. That's not what God is doing. Can I just tell you something? Most of the punishment for sin is built in to the offense. In other words, the offense that we're doing just has built-in consequences. And God's trying to keep us away from those consequences by saying, just do what I say. People don't like lists. Well, you know, you Christians, you believe in lists. You know, thou shalt not, and thou shalt. Well, yeah. Because God had a list. And we say, those are rules and regulations. No, they're not. They're commands that are there to help us. You know what thou shalt not is? Things that would hurt us. Don't do it. By the way, isn't that in society? Okay. How many of you want your kids crossing the street by themselves when they're 2 years old? No. Oh, you're restricting little boo-boo's freedom. No, I'm trying to keep little boo-boo from getting run over by a car. Okay? That's thou shalt. You know what those are? Those are things that will help us. God has our best interest in mind. God has what is best for us. But when we don't do what he says, those blessings remain on the table and we miss out. The blessings of obedience. I think sometimes a reason we don't obey is because deep down in our heart, we really don't think that God's commandments are best for us. Think of it this way. Think of Lot's wife. They told him, listen, if you stay in the city's going to be destroyed, you're going to die. She believed that enough to leave the city, right? So she believed God. But then God gave another command. He said, now, don't look back. You'll turn into a pillar of salt. And what did she do? She looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, maybe I'm wrong here. I just have a hard time believing that she believed God, because what she would have been doing would have been suicide. And if she wanted to die, she wouldn't have left the city in the first place. See, you know what the problem with us is? With all of us, our flesh, our nature. We think that we can do what we want, and we're the exemption to the rule. Right? Oh, bad things only happen to other people. No, bad things can happen to anybody if we don't follow God's word. There's blessings associated with obedience. Let me give you one more. The witness of obedience. Look at verses 5 and 6, 5 to 8. What's the witness? Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded you, so you should do so in the land whither you go to possess. He said, listen, I'm telling you what to do when you get to the land. Keep therefore and do them. That means obey. Hold on to it tightly and do what it tells you to do. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations which shall hear of all the statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. One thing that was going to happen is the people that worshiped the pagan gods and all the nonsense that was going there, they would eventually clue into like, wow, what they're doing is different. And they might even understand that what they were doing was better. For what nation, verse 7, is there so great who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all the law which I have set before you this day? Their obedience would be a living testimony to those around them who worship false gods, that their God was the true God. You see, most of that other worship was such nonsense, they did it out of a sense of duty. Out of a sense of, this is just what I have to do. There's no love relationship there. It's not much good there to it. In stark reality, in stark contrast to the Israelites, who had the, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. They had the proper motivation for doing what they should do. That would be their wisdom. Whenever we live a life of obedience, we are a witness to the world that serving the Lord is a good thing. You know, Christianity has a bad name in our country. It does. Why does Christianity have a bad name? It's not because of Jesus. He's good. Okay? It has nothing to do with God. It's us. It's Christians. Now listen, we can't control what everybody does who calls the name of Christ, but I can control what I do. I want people, when they see us, me, to say, you know, he's serving God. It just seems like that's just a better way to go. That's the witness. Let's not be a bad witness. We can't have others thirst for something that we ourselves don't have. I'd rather be a testimony of God's blessing than a curse, testimony of, you know, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. But there's a witness there. God has called Christians to be a witness to this world. You're a witness wherever you go. Do you know when you go to work tomorrow, Whether you like it or not, you are a witness. Now, there used to be a controversy, particularly many years ago, and Charles Barkley was in on it, where he said, I'm not your child's role model. But then he would get up and say, hey, wear your shoe, wear my shoes and be like me. I guess he was only a role model when there was money involved. Whether he likes it or not, he is a role model. Most of these kids, they try to be like the athletes they see. They're a role model whether they like it or not. Let me say this. You're a Christian. You're a witness whether you like it or not. So you only have two choices. Am I going to be a witness of a life that's blessed by God if I'm obedient? Or will I be a poor witness of what life is like if I do my own thing? Listen, the people were coming into the land. And God's getting them ready. And the greatest thing they would need when they step foot into the promised land was obedience to God's law. And let me say that. This, it's the same for us too. Now look, you say, man, when I read the Bible sometimes, there's so much there. I'm overwhelmed. How many of you feel that way sometimes? I get overwhelmed. I hear that stuff and it's like, man, I got so far to go. Why try? But can I just tell you something? God wants us on the right path. That's all. Live the obedient life and say, Lord, if I learn something, I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to go forward. The choice is yours. I'll end with this. Is we were reading in Jeremiah, as the Babylonians were coming in, and Jeremiah was trying to tell them, listen, you're not going to win the battle. Give in. God's already appointed you to destruction, but if you give in, he'll spare your life. And he said this. He goes, I've set before you the way of life and death. What kind of Christian life you have has been set before you. You say, well, I thought it's just the thing about the heart, man. By the way, can I just say this? That's a cop-out. Well, you know, it's not just about obedience, man. It's about the heart. No, it's about obedience. Now, if you have the right heart, you'll obey. But just because your heart's not right doesn't mean it's okay to disobey. Okay? Look, if you go speed on the freeway on the way home and you get pulled over and say, you can't give me a ticket because it's all about the heart. My heart's not right. That's why I didn't obey. You're going to have you sign that ticket. Okay? Now, you ought to do everything you do out of a heart of love, but can I just tell you something? That's no excuse for not obeying God. Obey him because the blessing is there, but the choice is ours. Let's all stand this morning.